Hey, so we are Slice and Dice, and we are gathered here today so we can discuss the legends of the Opus One set, Beyond Destiny. And I'm Jono, and I'm joined by
Sam
and Phil, and yeah.
Opus yeah. 21, by the way.
Did I say 20?
You said one.
What?
We got a blast from the past.
Did I say Opus 1?
You did.
All right, no never worries. Mind then. But yeah, we're obviously going to have a good round-the-table discussion on our highest rarity costs of this set and just see what thoughts we have about deck building.
The highest rarity cost of this set is my wallet, probably, with the amount of legends that we want.
Exactly.
I'm so mad about it. Like, I can't afford to have all these legends. I love them all.
Yeah, I think they've got a good sort of, like, diverse potential for this set to, like, branch into so many different archetypes that possibly we haven't seen before and just have some good, like, fun with the deck-building ideas because it's crazy how good these cards are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's start with our first lad, Cyan. I think already the amount of googly-eyed memes I've seen on like Discords and stuff is showing that everyone really loves the art direction here.
He's definitely going as the cover of Slice and Dice.
Yeah, he portrays the energy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Intense.
Cute D'Amano art. Reminds me of the Strago on the scooter. Yeah. Similar energy, you know?
Exactly. I think a lot of us obviously will see Cyan and just go serious name clash in the Samurai's deck. You know, Samurai being a good old blast from the past archetype that had quite a lot of, you know, contention in top tier sort of play back in the day. But
I like that this guy goes in any deck that has fire, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't have to be Samurai, doesn't have to be Cat 6, but he's also just... Yeah, I think the idea of being able to board wipe at a later stage is a nice thing when if you slowly build up your crystals.
Mm. And one side of board wipe as well, not to be underestimated. I think people read him and they think expensive, you know. 8 cost board wipe is what they think when they read him. But I think he's super flexible.
But I also think you're just looking at one specific ability.
Yeah.
I think because the other two, with having 3k, just give him 3k for one crystal, you can then keep him alive long enough to build those crystals.
Yeah. And in my mind, 1 CP for a crystal is cheap. People used to be discussing how much is a crystal worth, and they were saying maybe 2, maybe 1, maybe 1.5. I think 1 on a neutral board, you're always nice to have a neutral play. And yeah, it's really strange, really hard to evaluate. I think he can go in Samurai's because they're always going to want to kill your 3-drop EX, Cyan.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't really go in Cat 6 because Cyan is a rather valuable backup in Cat 6, and as much as I'm not a pure player of Cat 6 convention, but controversially, he doesn't fit Cat 6 generally. Like, he doesn't fit into a double freeze direct damage kind of deck, and we've already got Edgar and Sabin for our damage, our wipes, our control, so he doesn't fit into Cat 6, which is not a bad thing. I think with the amount of crystal generation we've gotten in recent sets and reprints and things, he's going to fit just purely into crystal decks as well.
Yeah. I think the fact that, like, you have seen a resurgence of crystals in the last couple of sets, plus the Dissidia box, anniversary box, it's nice to be able to see those go to use. You know what I mean? It's
I'm just, my deck building brain's just going off on this guy. I think, like, oh, what, fire lightning crystals? I'll put a Lilith on board and I don't have that many crystals. My opponent's like, oh, this is fine. And then you generate 5 crystals and suddenly you've won the game.
Break all your forwards and kill something.
Again, crystals really do need a shot to the arm to be, like, pushed over into the meta. So obviously this is with a big pinch of salt. But I like this card. Yes, it's Amatable. Though we did talk about the niche situation where you have the crystals already. Your opponent Amats this guy. And you just board wipe them anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds really funny.
Slow build of crystals, and they're going, why does he need all these crystals? What's the point? And then you go, oh, Cyan, there we go. Here's the solution to our crystal game.
So I guess our summary of the first card is, like, he fits in decks that aren't Cat 6, really. So Samurai's, crystal-based decks. Really, we care the most about the 9k single board wipe, so it's only your opponent controls, and we like his one cost for his 3k power because he can keep himself alive. But beyond that, you know, so he's kind of a middle, like, if we're talking like Nando spiciness, he's like lemon and herb. He's a lemon and herb to medium. He's not piri piri.
Yeah, I think so.
I like that you can do ping as well, like
little one
like
ping,
so flexible,
3k. I think you're gonna find that he's one of those troll cards that comes out and you see it, you go, ah, yeah, he's not going to see too much play. And then he just trolls you because he, you know, all these people will actually
do some decent damage with him, hard to evaluate. Yeah, leave him unchecked
and you're like, oh, you forget your opponent is gathering crystals for some reason, and then you, I can see that.
I would agree like 3 out of 5 kind of vibes.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Cool, let's see who is next on the roster. We have got another Cat 6 card, probably if I start this one as another Cat 6 card that not particularly played in Cat 6, although Shadow is one of the, like, you know, I could live without a Shadow as a backup in Cat 6, but again, he's not adding a huge amount to Cat 6 because you've got, like, you know, you've got your Water Strago that can search for stuff, you've got your Banana Sid backup that can search for stuff, you've got your Lock that can do top 4, you've got so much ability to get cards that you want in Cat 6 that Shadow is not adding a lot here.
Ability-wise. I'm hoping we don't all have to, like, eat our hats on this one, but I just don't see Cat 6 needing this ability. And I'm glad that Cat 6 isn't getting a boost in the arm, because I've had enough of getting beaten by you, Phil.
So I think that's about to change, though, eh? Got some other ideas brewing off the back of these cards.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
So I think
it's really hard to evaluate. I feel like he's one of the weaker legends, but then again, if you're being really aggressive and you just warp him in after one turn, I'm pretty sure he only can enter on the beginning of your main phase one in the normal warp timing.
Yeah, after the draw.
But I mean, let us know if we're wrong, because
I mean, if it meant that once all warp counters are gone, he plays, then obviously having him come in at the end of your turn, I think, is pretty solid, because you want to, obviously when he enters, you have to discard your hands.
So such a strange card. Nice to have a 9k cheap and, like, draw 2 cards if you ditched your hand. But that's a specific scenario. So again, I'm thinking it's a weaker legend, but the art's pretty sick.
Full art, I think I can go to the full art here. Yeah, the full art. Beautiful.
That's a sleeve in the binder sort of attitude.
It's kind of a shame they should have made this the backup that actually sees play. Put that art on that.
I think in the end of the day, you know, if we are saying that the rules are he comes in at the beginning of your main phase, he's after your draw phase, so you draw 2, it's automatic discard 2.
I kind of hope we're wrong on this, and he can just enter when his warp counters are gone.
I think,
because then he just enters on the turn you play him if you're running a couple of cats.
So that, which, because obviously at the end of turn, if you've emptied your hand, then you've got no hand to discard. The draw 2 would be sweet. You know what I mean? And I don't feel there's a drawback on
you could,
that.
If you're in summons as well, you could still draw those 2, cast some summons on the stack of him entering, and then draw.
Very true. Because he creates his own stack, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But I feel
weird legend, I think, for me, he's like a 2 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm going with, like, barely Lemon and Herb on this one. I know, I'm just making up the Nando's thing now. Please don't copyright strike us, Nando's. But I'm going with, he'd be lucky to get Lemon.
Yeah, I'm going to be saying the same, because I can't really think of anything that I would want to play him with.
So next up, we have got Yas Queen Slay Ultimecia.
Beautiful.
Ultimecia. Let's look at the full art for, you know, just to get that out of the way. Yeah, and then...
Hips don't lie.
Definitely. And I don't know how low her like, suit is going. I don't know if it was that low in the original game, but I didn't look there, so...
Respect the swag, you know?
I think teen me can remember it going that low.
Fair. But what do we reckon... How spicy is her card text compared to her art?
I think
it's good.
I think initially the fact that it negates summons and stuff like that, she can't be chosen by summons, is pretty good for AMAT reasons, you know.
AMAT will still get it.
Oh no, of course, sorry, yeah.
It's non-targeting.
True. That's, yeah, by the by. but yeah, like the fact that she can actually have a presence for a few turns, I suppose, is...
This seems like the most playable Ultimecia we've had so far, which I'm really happy about, because it's kind of annoying that they had these fun Ultimecia cards in the past that they'd never break through to the meta, whereas this just goes straight in Vestale. Maybe Vestale's not meta, but still terrifying.
It gives you more things to think about, because, like, I think Vestale was sat there for a while, like, doing some good... Had some good deck ideas around that, you know, back at Opus 11, 12.
Yep.
So this kind of refreshes...
Yeah, Griever and Ultimecia straight in there, in that deck, doing absolute work. Terrifying threats to see that early.
And just remembering from what we said earlier about how AMAT can still hit her, for those of you that don't know and think about previous cards, AMAT's card text will say target one auto ability that is triggering, not target a character. So if you AMAT Ultimecia on the stack, you're not technically choosing Artemisia. You are choosing her auto, which is two separate things, which is why Amat works here. Similar to, what is it, Wind Cecil? The Wind Cecil
always comes up.
Yeah. So if anyone kind of thought, what are they on about? That's what we're on about. So just bear that in mind, because it's a really good play, because people often forget that. So it's good to know going into this set.
Basically, Amat's bullshit, goes through anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Deal with it.
It's a good thing it's really expensive and like not everyone can get hold of it, right? You know?
Come January.
This guy only wants the rich to have the power.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, Artemisia seems pretty nice. Like, I like the fact it's removing five characters from your break zone. You know, the game is getting modern enough for me now. Like, you know, I'm a new entry. I started this game in May, but I can see the game is now fast enough that getting five cards into your break zone is relatively easy to plan for and get them out. And you're probably going to have characters you don't care about removing from your own break zone. And
oh, yeah.
Dolphreeze is huge. Like, she's the equivalent of, like, Mateusing your opponent's backups or Mateusing your opponent's entire board, entire board or forwards, but not having to remove her from the game is just nuts.
I think most of us should know how disgusting and painful it is to have your backups frozen.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly.
because I do that at locals too much.
I think the nice thing is that it's up to five characters. So if you haven't actually managed to get all those five characters in, it's still dulling and freezing four things.
Yeah.
Still huge.
And if she comes off Griever, your opponent has paid to kill a threat, and then they get the reward of discarding a card and having several things frozen.
Exactly.
Disgusting.
The added text of "your opponent discards a card" at the end as a tagline is just like,
that's pure salt in the
worst.
It may as well just say Nair at the end.
Yeah.
But I reckon she's probably like what, a strong three edging into a four out of five, kind of?
I'm on the four.
She's a four.
She's a four, yeah.
She doesn't look like she's going to break the whole game, thankfully.
I'm not going to carry on with the Nando thing, because I can't think of how spiciness she is, but she's definitely like more into the four territory.
Four chilies out of five.
Four blockbuster stars, I don't know.
But then...
10 minutes in the loo.
Should we be moving over to Griever?
Yeah, because we mentioned Griever a few times.
It feels backwards to do these this way around, doesn't it?
Partner in crime, isn't it, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah,
because this was spoiled before. For Artemisia, and we're all just sitting there going, there better be a witch worth it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I suppose that, like, in regards, in my head, I can think of a few witches, and I think it's been stated by a lot that Matoya is one good backup to bring into tech in it.
Some weird elemental stuff but.
But at the same time, I think, you know, if you want to actually play this efficiently, you know what you're searching for, really. You want to find the 6 CP one from the starter deck, or not. Was it starter deck? It was like a boss, villains and heroes deck, wasn't it? It had a 6 CP starter witch.
I think you don't, if you're, so if you're, yeah, yeah, I agree, that's a good pick, but I think if you're in a Vestale deck, you don't even include that.
No.
Because the new one is just almost always better.
Absolutely,
think about it.
Yeah.
But if you're in an FFA aggro, which is what I keep thinking about with these cards, that one's good because you're not always going to have the big characters to get the extra freezers. Freezing backups, again, good. A lot of the time your opponent's tapped out on your turn.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then there's the backup and the water backup for big memes.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're in Vestale, that's like, I mean, probabilities on your side on that one most of the time.
If you want to play it safe as well, you've got the Lightning Adir, which basically gets a witch from the break zone and plays it onto field.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cash that in later.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those, like, if you can't tech that and because you've got all your this Artemisia in your break zone already, then it's one of those things. But the fact that Griever can dull as a, you know, say someone targets it just on leaving and saying by you discarding. Do you know what I mean? Like, dull effect to on the stack of make you discard, and I'm actually going to bring in this Artemisia.
And that's another card.
That's another discard. Two
no CP
and...
for you ever.
Exactly.
It's going to be a fun interactive format, isn't it?
He has some of the weaknesses that 5-drop reject from last set has. Like, any blanking and he's gone and you don't get your Artemisia.
No. Yeah.
But at least he's threatening at the time. You know, he'll suck against ice and water.
I think if he fits with me in the same sort of vein as Une does, is that, like, we talk about Une never attacking because you want to get that trigger of getting someone back from your break zone and using that ability to dull it to get that. So it sits with me similarly to that. Say if your opponent's attacked in that turn, at the end of their turn, dull it down to kill that broken break that forward.
And one more thing on this guy, like, he doesn't read once per turn on the discard effect.
No.
So any combos with activate forward effects...
I was thinking that.
That's foul. That's degenerate. So
yeah, pretty much so.
I have no idea if someone's going to come up with a combo that breaks. It's like Greaver, Rosa, that's a lot to put on the board. You know, the obvious ones are a bit of a tough sell. But I'm wondering, there's no FF8 card that activates FF8 forwards, is there?
Can we have a disclaimer that Slice and Dice is not responsible for the harm caused by the combo that Sam has just mentioned? Because that's going to be upsetting when that happens.
I don't think I'm the first person to mention
it. No, exactly. I think if you sit with, like, Asura, I mean, you get hidden into wind, but a 1 CP, yeah, you discard 2. You know what I mean?
The problem with that is you're discarding the Asura to do it, right?
You want to free something. Effects that, you want to free something, right?
You want some gross... I mean, there are little combos with backup and things that maybe do this, but it's like if you stick this in what do they call it? Infinite deck,
like a loop deck.
Yeah, loop deck.
Yeah,
you may just make your opponent discard their entire hand in one turn, like even if it's like six cards.
That's a bit gross.
That'd be horrendous. Sorry, but we should move on.
So what do we reckon in terms of? Do we reckon another four because it goes with Ultimisia? Do we reckon?
I think it's probably one step better.
I'm so torn.
No, it doesn't feel like a five. I don't feel like it because it's part of a package. I don't feel like it's a five.
I don't feel like it's specifically packaged with this Ultimisia, but at the same time, it's one of those cards that sits on your field and can do a lot of damage if you leave it unchecked.
I feel like it's still another four. It's not like a...
Whereas Ultimisia's done her thing one entering.
Okay.
Can I be a coward and give him a score against Water and Ice and then against other elements?
I think the fact that it's split means he's not... It's like a four, because like it's...
Sure. I'm sure with that, yeah. Sure. I don't think this is a five, because the investment, it's not an immediate payoff. So.
Yeah. True. Very true. I mean, yeah, you have to count for the fact that he's six.
Let's see if the next one is an immediate payoff. It's the Princess Era. I think this is like going to be the quickest one, maybe.
I don't know. Like,
I think these abilities are really interesting, and I think the second action ability is kind of strong.
But then again, the fact that you're trying to blank people's EXs and giving them a choice over whether they trigger them or not, it's sat within a tricky spot, because the EX game is good when it's good. You know what I mean? Like when you hit your EX, you go Tyro, perfectly. I'm gonna go and search it, but it feels sour when you have to make that choice of not triggering it for that reason.
Yeah.
But at the same time, is it worth having her as a slot with the same name, Princess Sarah, in your deck?
I've been thinking about her elements. So wind decks, Storm is the meta wind deck.
Absolutely.
Storm doesn't need this because it gets ahead and then it wins.
Yeah.
So it's not even worried about all of its forwards are free. Everything is free to it in the end game. Mm-hmm. The only deck I can see this being useful in is if there's a Fire Wind Aggro deck.
Mm. Yeah.
And then you can't search her in that, can you?
Mm.
And then what other princesses are you running in that?
There's not many.
No. You
know, most of your princesses are going to come from wind, and
it's just in such a weird place in the card pool. Yeah, so that's the biggest downer for me on her. I think both her abilities are good, or her second one's really good.
Can I just mention as well that it's sad that she's the only backup legend we've seen for the longest time, and she's in this position.
You'd hope
she feels like a hero. She just reads like a mid of the range hero card. You're like, oh, okay, I pull three of them. Like,
I agree. And on this case, I do hope we are hats. I want her to be good.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone will find a good way of actually getting this stuff to, like, all these abilities to go off for her.
I hope we're wrong.
Yeah, I feel like she's a two, like with her cross.
I was gonna say two as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're sad to see it when you get your other Water Sarah, four cost Sarah, and you go, I'm just gonna discard it for CP for another cost. But if you had that element, which is perfect for Sarah that searches Princess.
Yeah, the name clash on this card.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it is awkward. Super awkward.
See if we do better on the next one. So, we are on Balthier. And let's take, we've got a full art. So, I mean, I'm all for the, you know, representation of good Hotmail cards. So, I feel like this is sort of like full art sets of Mark II for me, just in terms of looks. Like, I mean, the card text doesn't exist at this point. So, but no, Balthier's full art is actually quite nice and suave. So, liking that. It's going to be a nice full art to pull, I think.
He's our ultimate roguish male in Final Fantasy.
Yeah, definitely.
And how is his ability? Let's have a look.
I think for my first thought was that he fits into an FF12 aggro with Fran from Opus 19. That was my first thought, because she plays him, immediately buffs her when she enters. So it's two decent cards, and the fact that if you're stifled for same name cards in your hand with Job Sky Pirates, then you've got good discard for activation and stuff like that.
Yeah. What is the other Balthier that Sky Pirates play? I know he does he bring something in? I know he's good because he can like
good question. Dull, I'm gonna
dull Sky Pirates to haste them or something.
I think he's a hero from if I remember rightly.
Because I don't think you play him in multi element Fran deck, do you? Or he's not as good in that deck.
It was this one. It was the Opus 13 hero that basically when he enters, you choose one job Sky Pirate across two or less from your break zone and play onto the field. So that was a decent 1-2-3. Play Fran, play this, play something from your break zone. So the thing with this one is that you're
this one's better in Fran deck, I reckon.
I think so. The other ability that the other Balthier that fits with Fran is that you dull two active job Sky Pirates and choose one job Sky Pirate and give it 2k and haste.
Yeah.
And so the haste on being able to get something in quick from say Balthier and the two cost to give Fran haste to then be able to
attack
and play something else.
That's cool.
It was a big ramp card.
One my counter argument to the old one and in favor of this one would be on that one you have to be running two drop Sky Pirates, right?
Yeah, of course.
And that so your deck building space can just be purified to four drops.
True.
That you need in the multi element Fran deck.
True.
Yeah, it's giving. I mean, my knowledge of Wind is limited, but this just reads like sort of like giving Sky Pirates like Atomos and every kind of thing. And I don't know, my knowledge isn't that in depth, but it's just being able to like, you know, like you say, dull stuff and use it and then activate. Is you still got both things giving Sky Pirates a good boost.
So I think in classic Sky Pirates, you know, with six drop multi element Vaughn, I think you still pick the old Balthier.
Mm.
But this guy, his second ability is crazy.
It's the weird thing that you're having to fit him within. Specifically wind, because obviously it's asking for wind characters for that first ability for dealing 3k.
If that said wind or earth,
ping, you know what I mean?
We'd be super happy.
Drop a Lusso and get something more off the field. I mean, I know it's not going to fit into necessarily Storm, but you know, like play Lusso for one, hopefully you've done the 7 cast, steal 8k to the board, and then an extra 3k because of Balthier.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's you want to put him in Storm for the activate, but you never want to play for a 4-cost 8k in a Storm deck.
Well, the thing that only makes him Storm is activate, and the only way to activate is by discarding Sky Pirates. So then that's the other part where you go, I'm going to have to fix this into Sky Pirates. Yeah. And
he just doesn't go in Storm.
He doesn't go in Storm, obviously. But
so a wind card that doesn't go in Storm is ultimately a point down, isn't it? Which is it's a savage thing about the meta.
Kind of sounds like a 3. Kind of sounds like he's a 3.
Yeah, probably my
I'm curious to see what people do with him.
My level of spice on this one, I think.
I'm almost tempted to go 2, but we'll go 3, because I want to try out multi-element Fran, but still haven't for some weird reason.
It's decent. The idea that me and Frenchie have been playing with is definitely a heavy wind sort of orientated Fran deck. Almost like a mono wind with a couple of earth techs in there.
I feel like he couldn't be a 2 purely because he's tribal support, and it's possible that he could be really good if someone unlocks him now, or if just like in future something comes out that he can absolutely crack.
So I'm sure
he's kind of like one of those cards that he's not bad tribal support, but he's not good now.
He's a future proof card.
Any ability that reads like that, you keep your eyes on it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Let's see what we're keeping our eyes on next. I'm getting really good at these. we're looking at Ingus. He is... Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to keep it clean. But no. Ingus is looking good. We've got beautiful full art as well.
Matsuda always does the best. I'm hoping as the sets go on, I'll be able to get my whole Refia set. Because Refia was one of my cards that I absolutely appreciated. And speaking of Refia, I hate the fact that this is 6 cost, because Refia had...
You're
only
the only
one...
person thinking about this card
that way. I mean, obviously, the way that he reads and the fact that he has to search Earth forwards is just, I can't play with Refia.
This card, for me, is like, I'm kind of hearing like distant screams in the distance and like earthquakes because of like how easy it is to get that many... earth backups and stuff in like earth monsters and then just search your mirror or whatever you want to do. Obviously you'd have a mirror probably earlier, but the amount of things he can leverage by reducing his own cost is
1 CP for a searcher forward is
and a 9k
is crap
with EX.
Well, I was about
it's just
to say
instant like, 3 of in any earth deck.
The EX alone is an instant 3 of, because you just know that,
and you already know they've got a lot. Yeah,
I think this might be the first. I know I'm not like moving us on early, but I think this might be the first 5. I feel like
I can't give him a 5 because he's a glue card, right? He's a consistency card. You don't win the game by playing a cheap 9k. But no. It is good. It's really, really good.
He builds yeah. like
it might be 4.5, you know?
Yeah. Okay. The fact that you have to strictly build a... Well, not strictly, you don't have to, but like I feel like if you want to maximize them the most, you have to be Earth. Mono-Earth.
Okay.
The problem with Earth backups and Earth decks now is you have mono-Earth backups that play what multi-element walls so easily.
Yeah.
You can play mono-Earth and have all the backups to play it.
Play a wall. Yeah, that's
it's
true.
Gross.
That's true.
It's so gross. And, I mean, you know, your Leos and Rikus of this world help a lot.
Do we have any other Inguses? Oh, we must do, I just don't know.
We have an Opus 2 Ingus, which I absolutely adored back in Opus 10, because it helped me win so many games with that off the back of the Raffia. But yeah, I think there's...
He doesn't name class. The other Inguses are all terrible.
The Ingus, yeah, this Ingus is...
So he's on a good name too, which pushes him even higher.
Yeah,
it's because he's Job Warrior of Light, but he doesn't synergize with anything I'm thinking of. It was just funny.
The Warrior of Light thing is irrelevant
in
this
card. May as well be a job, you know, salesperson.
Wow, standard unit. Wow, he's me. I love it.
Representative.
Yeah, exactly. Poor
job
boy.
Basic twink.
Poor boy.
No, he's fancy, I like him.
It literally looks like someone's just like got a fan and just blown the back of his head. You know, the back of his crown, his hair's gone around his face.
When this is the bassist in the band you're about to see, you know it's going to get heavy.
When you describe his hair being like pulled forward, it's pitchy as Kenny from South Park without his hood up.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
But no, he's a pretty...
True identity reveal.
But oh yeah, okay, so I think we've seen...
I'm not going to try and kill this Ingus.
He's a very strong four then, but we're not.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I think so. I think he's...
Is that your result, Jonathan?
I mean, yeah, I personally would find it very hard to play him because I don't necessarily enjoy
Earth.
Earth
game, right?
I don't enjoy Earth too much. I know the value of Earth with all the... Like you just said, all the colour fixing, but...
And the board wipes.
But I find it very hard element to sort of like fit into, but...
You're too aggressive to be at a...
I think so. But I can see the value of him, so yeah, I'll put him at a four probably, because he's gonna work well.
He's gonna do sure work. He's the new Gabran.
Oh, absolutely.
Cool. Speaking of new cards that people are really gonna like, shout out to Mike at Locals, because this is your man right here. Neo X there.
I've only just noticed
his
muscles are like bonkers. What is happening?
He's
got muscles between his shoulders and chest.
Yeah, man. Like,
what?
He's gold.
He's Neo X.
What exercise do you do to get those?
But the fact that's,
that man is drawing cards off of water constantly, and he's got massive biceps. Anyway, kind of.
But the fact that you've just mentioned Mike. Like shouting out Neo X Death. We've got a serious sort of association with Neo X Death from Sean. We've had Steve D call out the Nottingham area for yes, Neo X Death.
That's a bad reputation.
So now,
isn't it?
Now we're building it again with Mike. But I don't. I think he's
this,
legit.
This card is a lot less degenerate than the
I
old
think he's
dog
legit.
Neo X Death.
I mean, he's legit.
Maybe Sean can get his X Death crown back by playing this and triggering someone.
He most likely will. He most likely
to be
will.
Fair, maybe I can. You know, we're all capable of upsetting people.
So the fact. So the way that he. Reads is super simple, but the fact that he can just get everything off the board, every character that's not a backup off your opponent's side of the field, and it's a one-sided board wipe, then it just means like the two backups that you lose, you know, it's not necessarily relevant to the card that you're putting out there, which is a 10k Brave, obviously. But
I would assume, I don't know it, but I've seen cards of various things that benefit from being broken or trigger when they get put in break zone, so it's possible, I assume, there might be backups that can work off of this.
Rampair just is the first thing that hits to mind. Is it removed from game? Remove them from game.
So that's me leaves the field, which is a lot harder to find.
So never mind.
It doesn't, I don't think there's any that leaves the field as the backups go.
Playing Vikings too much.
Yeah.
But he's another, he's really simple, there's not like much to him. He's just a very good board wipe. I feel like we're being very conservative, like we can't call anything a five.
But... Well, I think, you know, monsters were just coming up in the meta. They didn't win a big tournament or anything, but... yes, if monsters are a problem in your area, this is a godsend. Like,
pretty much.
You don't like, if you're against Earth and you're a monster deck, you're just sweating your entire game. You're just
the fact that he's one CP more than Shantotto. But the fact that, the thing with Shantotto is that you removed everything from the game, so there was no triggering effects from going
besides
from field
monsters.
To beside monsters. Yeah. But you wanna situationally put him into something that you know is gonna have your Shantotto as well as your X-Death, and you know, it's...
It just kind of scared me, and I know it won't happen because those cards are so expensive, but technically you could, like, Shantotto, then Neo X-Death, remove your Shantotto, and you're then scared of a second one.
True.
Like, it's not going to happen, because who's going to have what? 20,
oh,
22
it, it, it
CP?
Will happen. Oh, I would say that will happen in a game.
Yeah.
Have I now... Have I now
no,
have
it will. If you're, you know, if you're like an Earth player and you're up against, you know, some very aggressive deck, you know,
it
you're drawing four CP a turn, aren't you?
It gives you a reason to hold it, like, run a second Chantotto if you don't, or third, or whatever, and hold on to it if you know you run Neo X death, because you've then... Yeah, that's upsetting that I've thought of that. I do apologise.
Well, no, it's not... It's, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's fine. I think this guy is good, and yeah, like you mentioned, I think it's more critical that he's a one-sided board wipe,
yeah,
rather than
the Chantotto.
Because if this guy red, you know, removes your stuff as well, he probably wouldn't see play.
His mark's gone down for me if he's got if it's both your field as well. But
this can win a game out of nowhere.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't really play this card and think you're gonna, you know, haste strike quickly. But no. You know, there's an opening for.
Cat 5.
Yeah.
Goodbye. It was Syldra was Cat 5, wasn't it?
Yes.
Don't, oh, I'm so sad.
Is this the first...
I've still got a tear in my eye from the banning.
The more we talk about it, is this the first 5 just because of its impact? Like, it's pretty big impact in a game if it's dropped, but it is expensive, but it's 8 drop, 10k, and it...
I think you know that this is your end piece. This is almost like your Exodia, because you know that removing two backups is going to set you back for your later turns.
Mm.
So you know that you're going mostly all in with this card when it gets to... You're late game in it, basically, this card. And you know that you're pushing for something.
And if you and your opponent both have big boards, it's totally worth it.
Absolutely.
I have a board, you don't have a board. It's interesting because we've got Shinryu,
mm-hmm.
which is like this, but doesn't break monsters and is different kind of costing.
Do you know what? I just figured something out. If you're playing Mono Earth and you've got the Ingus that we've just spoken about, you pay that, playing that for one when you've got all 5 backups. You've still got 4 backups there. You're only discarding 2 cards. Search this guy out with the Ingus that you just played.
Yeah.
And then...
Is he searching this?
Searches an Earth board. So he searches out your Neo X death.
Yep.
I mean, sorry, I'm going into brain fuckery.
No, I think that's
like
a good point.
Becoming responsible for so much harm. But I do think he's a 5. I kind of feel like he's just like, if you pulled him, you'd be mega pumped to pull him.
If you pulled him in pre-release. Bye-bye pre-release.
All the cards we've done, you'd be really happy to see them. But if you're an Earth player and you pulled an EOX death, I think you kind of lose it.
Yeah, that's good. It's really good. And again, I don't want to give it a 5 because it's expensive. But...
The eight cost is neither here nor there anymore, because I think the fact that you can, someone who has the ridiculous sort of consistency and build of the monsters that we've seen recently, if you've got, say, I've seen French have like 10 monsters on the field, that can cause you damage each turn. If you can get rid of them for just 8 CP, you want to get rid of them, right?
Yeah,
I'd say so.
I mean, he's a L'Oreal out of 10. He's worth it, you know.
Yeah,
for me anyway. But I think we can
beautiful
have a split
art as well. A mono does monsters really well, and this guy's a monster man. You know,
like, he definitely.
I think we can have a split opinion of, like, you know, some of us say 4s and 5s. I think that's kind of appropriate.
I feel we're good on that one.
So let's go around. We're 9 out of 14. We're doing well. Speaking of doing well, I like looking at Irvin. He was actually like the first like spoiler. Was he the first spoiler? One of the first spoilers of this set, I think.
First legend
spoiler of the set, and we got that full art, and he's a really nice full art as well, like pretty classy.
Yeah, I think so.
But I remember trying to, because I asked you, Jono, about like, oh, how do I build a deck? Because I know how to build decks, but like I'm not very good at it, especially being new to the game. And Irvin was a card I tried to build with, and it was very much like, he's great, but he's so mid-range, as in like middle of the road card that can do great things, but I don't know where he'd slot in. He's not a big piece.
So I think if you are deck building around him, you want a deck that has recursion because his S ability is really good, and you want to be in a kind of aggressive deck.
The removing from game part is crucial to a lot of decks. I think if you can remove your opponent's pieces that they need from break zone. You know, the things that you can automatically sort of like swipe on there, you've already gained his value.
Yeah. Say you're against Mono Water, play this guy turn 2 off a backup. They're already so upset with you.
yeah, absolutely.
Because what do? You come in, you rob 2 of their characters. Now he's got haste first strike, swing, get 2 more gone, summons all.
So you've removed 4 cards from the game, effectively.
And then discarding 2 a turn usually at most.
Yeah.
So you're just. you play him, you have turned off their Lena Leviathan combo until they've killed him or got rid of him.
I admit he is a nice, actually. I know it's not where you'd play him, but he fits into decks like Cat 13, for example. Sorry for swearing. But, like, he's really nice because, you know, he's, like, he can haste himself on that second turn. So turn one, you do, like, your Veneal Search setup, Holy Lightning in hand. Irvin is a card you'd hold in hand and haste in once your opponent puts two things in break zone.
I think 13's pushed for slots, and he's...
Oh, for sure.
I don't know. I like. I would say I'm super excited about putting him in FFA.
I wouldn't put him in over. I'd say he's another choice to Alba, because Alba is also break zone clearing option. She either hates herself or she break zone clears. Irvin does both at once.
He's like more powerful Alba.
Do you know what the nice thing about him is specifically characters, and I think that sometimes that's overlooked when it comes to characters, because characters are the things that you want back more than summons.
Yes.
Because summons, they're good for recursion, they're good for like doing your little combo piece, loops combo pieces and stuff like that, but the characters are the things that you normally want back, and they're normally the things that get played off of having something enter the field. You know, like, enter the field, play this from break zone for free, you know, and those, pulling out those cards is nice.
I think he's really nice, but I do think he's a bit fair. Like, for a three drop,
I agree. He's three
for
drop.
For a three drop, I just don't want it to be like this fair. I don't want my opponent to be able to kill it for good value.
I know exactly what you're saying.
So I wanted more of a shot in the arm for FF8, but I love FF8 aggro.
Is that a sniper pun?
exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, he's three drop, which is annoying because he's odd cost and he's three. He's 7k, which is not 8k. Like, yes, he boosts himself to 9, but yeah, he's ridiculously fair. And I looked at like the other Irvins, and you are basically running dead cards for the S if you ran others.
Yeah, you'd never do it. I think
a lot of these cards that we've gone through as well are horribly, everything seems to be so high cost. Like, they've got everything's 9k or like above with Neo X Death. Playing this and then getting sniped by an Amat, you're just like, well, that's 3 CP gone. But I think that's Amat in all vacuums, right?
At least you don't lose CP to Amat with him.
But his S ability is great, but I don't think, from what I've seen, there's a card pool that can really support his S that well.
So hear me out. FF8 aggro.
Yeah.
You play your Anoa for free most of the time. That recurs an FF8 forward. Your Cypher recurs an FF8 forward. Mm-hmm. This guy is his S ability is gonna be gross.
Oh, is he like aggro. Is he like last set's red Tifa?
Yeah.
Because you just somersault and you recycle Tifas with Barret.
Yeah, he's like that, but in a deck that has Light Squall that's gross and dull.
Very true.
I think it still sits on the... He's very fair. Like,
he's very fair, one, but he does fit into the FF8 aggro deck nicely. And okay, I'm getting enthusiastic about a non-meta deck here. Mm. But I like this card. But yes, I wish it was stronger.
I think there's something to be said for non-meta decks, though, because obviously there's so many people out there that want to just play and have fun and tinker with stuff.
Yeah.
And I think this is a fun card.
Yeah, and FF8 is one of my favourite Final Fantasy games. It's so bonkers.
It's fair, but fun. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think there's got to be something that's said for fun, right? Yeah. I would definitely play him and try him and have fun with him.
And Break Zone Hate is amazing. And this is why I'm suffering this set with these legends, because even the quotation bad legends, I want them. It's so frustrating.
Because they're so fun.
Yes, I mean, and I'm just happy as well. I've gone back to the full art, but just only because I've noticed, like, collecting stuff and buying into the game and stuff, that there's a lot of full art for FFA, got loads of it, and it's all from mostly recent sets, like the anniversary, three drop Fire Squall that came out. Yeah. We've got Irvin Squall. But then, oh god, who else? Cypher, Fujin, but Fujin and Raijin?
Yeah, they were too.
You know, like, so many.
And yeah, you actually, can make like, a nice little collection.
You've got a really nice sort of, like, collection piece here as well, to be honest. So,
yeah.
Lovely. I, personally, emotionally, this guy's a 5 out of 5. But actually, in terms of strength for the whole game,
right,
he's like a 3 or a 2.5.
Yeah, down the middle for me.
Yeah,
I think we're good with that. That's pretty fair. Yeah. So we're getting there, Zandy. So from one big lad to another.
Again,
he's a scary boy for me.
Amano monsters who are buff men. That's the theme of this set, apparently. Yeah.
I wonder why I changed over to this TCG.
just can't resist a Dark Lord.
No, so let's see. So he enters the field, choose of 1/4 your opponent controls, 4 or more lightning characters, break it. If you control 4 or more, when he enters the field, choose a forward in your break zone. If you control 8 or more lightning characters, play it onto the field.
So he can do both. If you've got eight more characters, then you break something and he can play something any cost. doesn't specify cost.
Yep.
Any I'm cost for free.
Loving this support for Mono Lightning.
Yeah, exactly.
That's screaming sort of like Neo X.
To be fair, you don't even need to be Mono Lightning. You could splash some other colors in there, but you know that the hit, you want to make the greater
lightning characters is a tough.
You want to make the greater count lightning, obviously, but yeah.
And you must have some amazing targets off of that second ability. Like
any forward, that's insane.
I think it's been said by the illustrious Steve Dolman that you can just play what's his name? Jeez, I've forgotten his name. Chaos. You know, big 11 cost chaos.
Dark chaos.
Do you know what I mean? And just for free, but then obviously you have to have that. That build of getting to 8 characters.
Yeah.
Lightning can even discard dark cards these days, can't it?
I think stuff like this is more achievable. So.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's definitely more achievable, though, with like new backups and things, you know, like all the new Cat 14 backups that just drop themselves for free if you control X amount of X amount of cards. So these are more achievable, I think people will see at the start. They'll look at it and think, oh, he's expensive, he's big, he's broken, but actually, yeah, I think he's more achievable than people think.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's kind of near, he's almost Neo X Death levels of hype.
He's auto-included Mono Lightning, the only drawback is he's a Mono Lightning card.
I don't think that's,
in the meta, it's a tough sell.
But again, and I think I'm going back to the same point that I made with Irvin. He's a fun trial card.
Yeah.
You want to trial him as much as possible to see if you can get max potential out of him.
Yeah.
And I think if you can get max potential out, he's gonna hurt your locals.
Yep.
I think so. I think he's gonna be amazing. I'm looking forward to him. I'll probably put him up there again, in terms of level of play.
I want 3, even though I don't think he's gonna be meta. My wallet isn't so much paid.
I think looking over previous sort of tournaments that have happened recently, Mono Lightning has snuck in there a couple of times.
Oh, in America, yeah.
I do feel like this will bump those Mono Lightning decks up a little bit. Mono Lightning enter into tournaments, and he is going to probably push that.
He's into the solid 4 by the sounds of it.
I definitely think he's... Steve Dolman's going to rate him at 5, I know that, but you know what I mean? It's definitely a very... He can do he can do so much. That's the thing. Despite the fact that you're in mono, he can do so much. Play what's his name? Thancred. 7 cost Thancred.
Yeah.
Play that this into Thancred. Break something.
Your ideas are the limitation with this guy. So good.
Yeah. Just look.
I give him a 2.5 out. A 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough.
Okay.
Yeah, cool.
Go with that.
Nice. But
you just make me think about how Thancred is nowhere to be seen in any market ever. I wish I could find him.
Talking about wallets again.
Yes. Let's see if our wallet's fine on this one. I've heard a lot of hype for Gal.
My wallet is not fine.
I've heard a lot of hype for Gal. And actually, I wish this was a full art.
Look at that art.
Art's stunning, and it would look beautiful as a full piece.
The irony that it's monsters, and we've just been talking about how easy a Neo X Death can just eradicate monsters.
And that's just one element, though.
Yeah, that's true. But it's one of those flip-flop sort of like sets, really, isn't it? You're going to see... two sort of like titans rise up and try and defeat each other. It's one of those situations.
I'll be sad if monsters can't like make some marks on the meta.
I mean, you've been monsters since the release of Opus 4, haven't you?
Yeah, weirdly, not that recently though.
No.
Yeah, but you know.
Free Gal that can sort of just like snipe a forward and put it at the top of, bottom of someone's deck.
Yeah, and that removal is some of the best kinds of removal.
Putting it back into deck, because you can't access it otherwise unless you search it again.
Yeah, do that to the new 6-drop Ice Legend. They don't get their trigger.
Well, exactly, yeah. You mean Griever.
Griever, yeah.
Put Griever at the bottom of your deck.
Gal, right, and I'm only doing this, not saying this is a legitimate play you do, but does Gal's second ability get over, I'm trying to think, like Zombie? Because I can't remember how Zombie reads, but like Zombie is something that when it uses its ability to make itself a forward, it breaks itself. Does Gal get over that?
Because the cost of Zombie is 0, so you paid the cost to make it a forward, and the Zombie cost is making it that forward, whereas Gal's making it the forward.
So it's things like Tombri, I'm trying to think on Tombri's text. Does Tombri have to use its own ability to kill stuff, or is it?
I think it does.
Because you see where I was going. Sure, if this could like make a Tombri a monster and Tombri's can just kill things without breaking, having to mirror. But I don't know if that's how that works.
I think with Gal, you are just basically making. It's similar to Maria from a couple of sets ago, where when she plays into the field, the backup becomes a forward of 8K.
Mirror. Yeah.
Maria, wasn't it, or something like that?
No, Mirror, wasn't it?
No, it was Maria, the light.
Oh, the light rebel.
Yeah. So basically, this is the similar sort of thing where it might just not lose its text, if it, depending on the monster, obviously, but it's not going to lose its text when it comes in. But the situations like you just mentioned, if it requires the cost for it to become a forward and do a thing, like Atmos, for example.
Yes.
When Atmos becomes a forward, it had to pay the cost of zero to become that forward, and then it will activate its backups.
Yes, yeah.
Whereas if Gauss made it the forward, when it attacks, it's not got that.
And yeah, exactly.
And so
this card is nuts. It's often free in a monster deck. If your opponent doesn't kill it, you're buffing your monsters bigger, you're using cards that don't care, you know, little monsters that you don't care about,
it's a monster slinger, isn't
insane.
It, basically?
It's an insane card.
It's a monster slinger.
It feels like an auto five, like this is just like a, it's going to be ridiculous if it pulls some stuff.
But, like you were saying, it's sad that it's printed on the same set as Neo XDef. If this was that last set, it'd be even worse, even stronger.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you've got to think that the dull Gao thing, with anything like monsters, you can activate them. You can activate them to Gao.
Yeah.
You can start like chaining out all these monsters that are going to become 8K and then potentially win a game quite easily, especially when you've sat there with monsters that can't become forwards, Cleone.
You can make your Cleone a forward.
Oh, that's upset. Oh, no, there's so many monsters now.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, no, I definitely think he's a decent legend. I think he's earned the legend title, to be honest with you.
Great card.
Yeah, that's piri-piri for me. We're bringing Nando's back.
Because he's Gauss printed hot. On the same set as Neo XDef 4.5.
Yeah. Bring it down a smidge.
I think,
you know, anyone who's hyped for Monsters last set will obviously have to watch out for Neo XDef, but at the same time, it's not going to stop you playing them. Yeah.
Take that Amat into your monster deck.
exactly. You got it.
Let's see what we take into a deck next. Wow, I'm loving every time I say it. Like segues, it's great. Faris, so Warrior of Light and a pirate. She's funky.
Look at this art. This is so dynamic.
This is
so good.
This is art I've wanted FFTCG to have. Not that I don't like mono art, but it's the poppin' sort of like cartoony stuff that really you look at other card games and you go, oh, I wish our card game had that. Seeing a little sprite, you know what I mean? It's like, sad times. Yeah, but I, at the end of the day, it's people's choices. It's not necessarily the look of a card necessarily, but the actual context of a card. And I think this got everyone stirring a little bit.
This breathes some life into Vikings, that's for sure.
I'm just thinking about Commons Cup all over again and thinking how cool it would be if all my little Vikings became 8K. I know that's probably not the Vikings people are thinking of. There are better ones.
If I'm honest...
No, it is those Vikings.
I know it's like those ones, but
they're the only Vikings.
But the other one in this, like Vikir and stuff like that, I'll choose him.
You immediately want to think of Opus 6 Lena. Opus 6 Lena was basically a forecast that literally everyone spammed because they wanted those Vikings back out of the break zone. Three cost for Vikings, especially because that was the multi-draw element that you
Layla,
had.
You mean?
Did I say, who did I say?
Lena.
Lena. Oh, Layla. Yeah, sorry. Layla.
No,
that's
right.
Everyone's going, what? Layla is what I was meaning. But so you immediately think of that one, but then we had a new Layla.
We had a new Layla, yeah.
And that just makes you go, oh, no. I wish I had more options.
I've been thinking about this deck, and I think you do run the new Layla because this is the kind of deck where you want your plan to be the same every game.
Yeah.
You want to present the same board. You go Viking, Faris, BK Faris or something.
Yeah.
And you've paid peanuts for... Yeah. Faris is the big investment. But then if you, it's wipe or bust for your opponent because they're just staring down.
Quite big boards, yeah.
And I'm also curious about mixing this with the old hero Faris, with the, you know, getting Vikings back and board wiping with said Vikings. I'm thinking about that.
Well, the fire one.
Fire one, yeah.
Interesting. I think in terms of actual sort of play, like the first deck that I sort of like meshed out on FF decks was 3 Faris, 3 BK, all the Vikings, and like a choice of Laylas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you've got a pretty much a solid like set for that. But
I like the new Layla for searching out a BK.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or this Faris, I think she does. So I think you go turn one, back up.
Mm-hmm.
Or
you know, two drop Viking, get, hopefully he gets another Viking. Do that either turn one or two, and then it goes Layla turn two off your backup. Search either your Bikke or Faris, depending which one you're holding, and then you're presenting that board of six forwards or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think
for a very low cost, and be like, can you not die?
Yeah. And if
wipe this board, I'll draw some cards and stuff.
The fact that you can retarget with the cost zero of retargeting any summon onto your Vikings to draw.
Yeah.
It's quite fun, I think. Yeah.
And if it wasn't clear, I'm a Viking stan. I used to play with the Faris, Fire Faris.
Vikings.
Yeah, Vikings I used to play, and then I played with the Fire Faris. So I love that deck, so I love this card. But again, it's... I don't think they'll push into the meta because they're, you know...
It's an old archetype.
Cheap 8Ks.
Yeah.
What does that? Oh, Soares with more text.
Exactly.
You know, this deck is like second-rate Soares, but that's... I'm saying that ahead of the set. I could be wrong.
But the thing is...
And I hope I'm wrong because I love Vikings.
Yeah. But the thing is, you're challenged with Mono Water again. Like, the Mono Water has its set. It has its deck.
Yeah,
you're fitting a lot of water cards.
I think that's
into
a separate deck.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Traditional mono water.
So is she sadly kind of like a two or a three? She feels like you want it to be a three, but she's kind of. It's sad that she's a two, but she kind of is. If you compare her to the other legends in the set, not as a card on its own.
Yeah, my heart says four. My brain says two.
Yeah.
And your eyes say five, probably. She's a five in the eyes.
This is another one. Oh, I wish it was a full art card.
Yeah. Definitely.
Something in the future, probably.
We're on sort of like the...
Comeback Legacy.
Yeah. We're on like the card before the end. I can't remember that word. Is it penultimate?
Yeah,
penultimate
right.
card.
Warrior. So this one's a head scratcher. Obviously, it goes into multi-element Axstar.
If I'm honest, I think it's shit. Yeah. If I'm completely honest.
I know that there's some other certain content creators. Hello, Steve D. Great guy. Who've said this is terrible. And it's hard to ignore that.
Yeah, it's hard to do these reviews without listening to other people's opinions first and going, okay, I feel like I'm in that same category.
Yeah. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard not to take those opinions on, but let's attempt original thoughts.
I think,
in a really aggressive deck, you know, you might do this turn two or do it off three backups.
Firstly, I don't want to say you want to pay seven in an aggressive deck.
Yeah, generally you won't.
You don't want to.
If you've got your Axstar, you just ignore this guy, don't you?
Absolutely.
And then you want to play three of a light card for the S ability, but that clogs your hands in an aggro deck.
I feel like...
Why is he a light card? Just make him a fire card.
He needed something to reduce his cost. I think that's all it needs. It's an okay card with like a nice little cost and a nice S ability, but it's just the cost, which I can't. There must be like a reason for it, I don't know. But every other legend we've been reading, all the other legends we've been reading, this doesn't have cost reduction, and I feel like it needs something.
So I think, in theory, the reason he's so expensive is you play the two characters.
So you get. He's a three cost, 9k, if you play those two extra cards from deck.
So you played a three cost from hand. That's net five, because you put the forward on the board.
Yeah.
So, you know, playing two three costs is net 10, and this guy's net 8.
Yeah.
Well, so you are, if you hit your stuff, you're making a profit. So in theory, he's like well costed, but you actually have to hit those targets. So your deck's like, oh no, I need to play 90% three costs.
Exactly. And
which is a bit bonkers.
Percentually.
I want to see someone build this, though. I want to see a deck with this guy.
Yeah.
And three costs is everything else.
Yeah.
I think you could do that in Axstar, theoretically.
You are sitting with, you know, like, the fact that he has that S ability, which is pretty good, but at the same time, specific to three costs again.
I know the Fire Faris is three cost, right? It's the only one I can think of that's like another. That's just because I'm mono Fire Monkey Brain at the moment, but.
Warrior of Light.
Because it's a light backup, it's searchable off. I'm only thinking mono Fire Stupid Ship because it's searchable off of Princess Goblin as well, so.
Yeah.
So again, this is one that I actually don't want to buy. Amazing. My wallet is safe. However, I will build this online.
You trial it.
Yeah.
I think
I'll build this online and have fun with it.
I think the light and dark cards are like cursed in a way.
Yeah.
I feel like you pull a light card in your pre-release kit and you go, who wants this? You know what I mean? It's like
savage.
It's one of those sorts of that's not going to come out of a binder for a while.
Remember the glory days of Camelinor and dark cards being good. You know,
don't get me wrong, I absolutely loved Light Rain, and I had three off because I knew that those S abilities were going to be handy.
And how many light dark cards see the meta now?
Xenos is like the only one I can think of right now.
But Xenos,
you know,
is
Chaos Arc, right?
Chaos Arc,
and that's. And that's because you win the game if you pull that combo off.
Well, right? Exactly, yeah. that's a two-card combo that can fit in pretty much most decks.
Any decks that can.
And so you're literally having a two-card combo just sit in a slot in any deck. You're not really taking the full value of a dark card into consideration when it actually has any synergy.
Yeah, which does highlight the clog problem of this card.
I think
I think it's like it's a sad two, unfortunately. And the funny thing I was thinking in my head is he looks like he's fighting Behemoth, but really, in terms of Opus 21, he should have like Neo Extra trying to punch him in the face, and he's trying to fight Neo Extra off because he's just no good.
I think it's a one.
It's a sad as well. It's one, beautiful. Yeah. But yeah, I was going to go one as well.
The moment you said it, I was like, I forgot one was a number, so yeah. Like, two is the lowest we've been so far, so my brain just thought two. But then
Phil's being that real salesperson, isn't he?
I mean, I used to be a teacher. This is like, clearly my students were like top tier.
Let's
you
not
know?
Fail everybody.
No, like, used to be. That's just a disclaimer. Right, the last card is going to be pretty coveted. We know that.
I think
Jack Garland now a maybe playable dark card.
And let's see his full art. Let's see.
He is your full art because he's chase card of this set.
Yeah,
signature card. You're looking for him.
He's got the, and this is only for anyone that's played Yu-Gi-Oh, he has got the Eldritch, the Golden Lord, daddy on the throne, crossing his legs pose. Like, this is just a winner for, like, everybody. So.
I do
like the art style and the swag.
I do. That's the typical, like, Arden's pose, isn't it? He sits with that.
It's like the graphical TV, it's like the graphical glitches as well.
Yeah, I don't know why there's, like, a 2001 glitch vibe, but. You know,
you're like, it feels like I'm about to play Bouncer again. Square Enix,
oh my
Bouncer.
God. No, that's a flash from the past. Wow. Yeah.
We spoke about him a little bit because he's Strangers of Paradise, and you know that you may search for a Sopfo, but one is Sopfo. I mean, you can't pronounce the F, so it's like Sopf. Yeah, but whatever. The fact that he can search that category and add it to hand, there are so many targets for that that have been added recently.
Yeah.
Well, this set really, and I think the fact that it's get the forward. Again, I'm looking back at the Faris and going, you can search this, get Bicke, however you pronounce his name, and just play the Bicke for free.
I just want a biscuit now.
Bicke? I was going to say something else, but that goes a bit more grotesque. The fact that he's brave, 3K, 9K brave, is, like, better.
Yeah, and he's pseudo one drop, isn't he?
Yeah.
So you can't sniff at a brave 1CP 9K.
What is, though, because my new player, Monkey Brain, is going, choose one dark character.
That's
so he said, yes, it could be yours, it could be your opponent's. Break it. Okay, cool. Jack, do as you a point of damage. Why does he punch me in the face for possibly having to break? I don't know. Like,
but the
Phil, have you not played against my self-damage deck?
No.
Oh, it's one of the best, like, meme archetypes, self-damage.
Okay. Yeah.
And again, I don't want this card, but I do, because he punches me in my own face.
You need to have an Xbox achievement come at the bottom of the screen, like Kink Unlocked, you know?
I mean,
he's not a bottom, look at him. But anyway, sorry, that's it's getting real strange.
It's going into my BK sort of territory.
So let's discuss the card.
Yeah.
I have a really bad influence on you, so I apologise.
The fact that you have to choose a dark character, that bottom text might not as well exist, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's not that relevant.
That shouldn't even be there.
There might be some silly combo where you break your own dark character that's worth breaking, but I can't think of a dark character that's worth breaking. Is there, like, there's no, like, Golbezzi type...
Xenos? Does he ever go to break zone and do something?
Xenos is castable from break zone. You can literally cast him at any time from break zone.
I suppose that's a recyclable thing.
I know, I can't remember the text, but it's like...
Then you're not... You're dealing yourself a point of damage each time you do that, so that's really bitchy.
But then, is it... Yeah.
I can't think of... breaking your own. So is that, that is like a niche scenario where your opponent plays a chaos backup or whatever you have.
Perfect for back in the day when Kadage was on the field.
Yeah, oh my god,
I mean?
Yeah.
Kadage,
this guy's anti-Kadage, oh my god. But yeah, shame he's not in the meta.
No,
he's going to change what, like L3 or L6 if Kadage developing in either of those formats, you know? Like,
I think, probably. Yeah, if he said choose one character, break it, then I think that's... perfectly
be overpowered.
Perfectly
it?
Yeah. Valid.
Because then it's not a self-damage card in the way that it's good in a self-damage deck. You are dealt the damage because that's a broken effect. So that makes more sense.
It's on there for flavor, right? He wants to kill chaos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh no.
But then if you know trying to kill chaos on the stack, the chaos that we all know and love, the 11k. If you're trying to kill chaos on the stack, then you know that for a fact that you've got to time that perfectly so they don't arc you.
Yeah.
Because
they're gonna arc you that question.
Arcsk you.
I just feel like you'd have the whole like here to kill chaos, like the meme where it plays all of the sound clips and it needs to just have like an on the stack I break.
Yeah.
I kill chaos. But yes.
But this guy's super solid because you bring in Sopfo forward. All of them read if you have two or more Sopfo
to hand
forwards. Yeah, to hand. Sorry.
Yeah.
So you play that. You know, maybe it's a little expensive. This guy's so cheap that he offsets the cost of the next Sopfo forward you play.
True.
And if you play the Earth one, that's, again, a pseudo one cost. So I do think the effects that they have, like deal two forwards 7k on the fire one, strong.
Yeah.
I think they've all got a reasonable effect.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this will see play. It's,
as I say,
it's a good little aggro piece. It could fit into a deck that doesn't already have like those straightforward plays like Soirees and...
Yeah. Absolutely,
such.
Absolutely.
So you can stick him in a deck with almost any colour and have an aggro line of play.
Yeah,
can you search him very easily? That's my question.
You can search himself.
I know there's a Cat 6 dark card that like can interact with dark forwards generically. I just can't remember fully what it is because I looked at putting it in. So, but that wouldn't blend
there
this
is,
at all.
Yeah, I don't think that.
It's the Emperor.
You have the Death Lord. You have the Death Lord, which is a 5 cost 9 CP Earth forward that searches you a dark character.
Yeah, that's not.
But worth. No, I don't think that's enough. And then you've got
Tyro, you know. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is Thordon?
Yeah. Thordon's any card, yeah.
So, and also, if I'm completely honest, if you go like.
Is there a Sopfo forward that searches a Sopfo forward?
I don't think you got them, no. But I think there's some Sopfo forwards that you actually want to play.
The good thing about him as well, in like a mid in a deck that doesn't mind having more dark cards, which there are quite a few, you know, water and such, you can have play him as 3 of. And
yeah.
You know, because if your opponent doesn't kill him, they're getting hit.
I would still be reluctant to have a three of a dark card or any light or dark card, but
yeah,
that doesn't have an S ability.
Yeah.
But like I get the idea of the losing your chaos,
yeah.
A brave 9k guy, you want another as a potential recurge, like get more of your Sopfo forwards. But then I still feel like we need more Sopfo to actually see any relevance to the current Sopfos. You know what I mean? It's like you said, it's not a Soirees set. You're not gonna, like the Sopfos aren't breaking the game.
Yeah. They don't feel like,
It sounds like a good 4, like for me in terms of like, card strength.
Yeah.
I'm not sure on him. I'll give him a 3, I think.
I think I feel comfortable on a 3 in the fact that there are certain decks that those Sopfo characters will see, like Astos, which is the ice card this set, which is Sopfo. You want him out quite a bit because he generates you. He does a lot of crystal stuff, so it's the one where you pay 3 crystals, dull him. You dull all your opponent's forwards and deal them 9k. And so, like, those sorts of little... and also he when he enters, he gains a crystal. So he's adding to those crystal things as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, with having Jack Garland, he will fit into a lot of decks that have those Sopfo characters in.
Mm-hmm.
So should you have a Sopfo character that you want to play within a mono ice, mono fire, mono earth, mono water with BK, you're going to want it. To get those pieces out.
Yeah. It's very interesting, and I want to see what they do with it. It's hard to rate right now, but I'll go 3. You know,
I'll say 3. Middle down the road.
Yeah, we can go for a 3.
So I think that's it, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And we've, you know, it's been a really good roundup of it all, and it's been first time with the three of us around the table as well, which has been quite nice. But no, where we are, you know, where next week is going to be like Opus 21 releases. So we hope everyone enjoys their releases and gets it out. We've shouted out Steve D from YYT a few times in this one, but there's not just Steve D out there. We've got some other really great creators you want to check out, such as the Cactuars from Wales, Simryu Cactuars, Firestorm Games, and I know Chocobo Billy's another creator you want to look out for as well.
With his crazy combo shows. It's brilliant.
So, yeah, to look around, there'll be a lot of people doing content around, like, looking at other cards in the set, not just us.
Tell you what, I've not seen a Alex Hancock's set review yet. So, shout out to Alex. Absolutely good mind to read the text on.
Definitely.
So, yeah. Thank you very much for everyone who's had the patience to listen through all of our wafflings and our lovely musings. So, we hope to see you soon in some big tournaments coming up. Mm-hmm. We know we've got Winter Cup coming up, so this is probably... Winter Cup's going to be the first big tournament that we're going to hopefully see some decent plays come out of.
Yeah, it'd be lovely to see everyone from the community in Wales.
Exactly, and it's coming back strong, I think.
Bring your Commons Cup decks to Wales.
Definitely.
Oh, yes, we absolutely love that announcement. Commons format.
We're fronting it. We're fronting it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yes. I think we're a trio already, aren't we?
Yes.
The team has already been formed.
Not going to spoil the source, though. But yeah.
We're throwing down the gauntlet.
Does anyone want to challenge us?
I don't know if we're good enough to do that.
We'll see how we go.
But I think that's all us wrapped up. So, yeah, thanks for listening to our little roundup. And if you liked it, give us some feedback. It's the first time the three of us have been around the table for this sort of thing. And I think we got a bit funny in places. And weird, and hopefully it was fun for people to listen to.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Take care.